Welcome to episode 139 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Today we'll read Deuteronomy chapter 15, we'll begin the book of Acts with chapter 1, and we'll read Psalm 61 from the Good News Translation. Deuteronomy chapter 15. At the end of every seventh year, you are to cancel the debts of those who owe you money. This is how it is to be done. Each of you who has lent money to any Israelite is to cancel the debt. You must not try to collect the money. The Lord Himself has declared the debt canceled. You may collect what a foreigner owes you, but you must not collect what any of your own people owe you. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that He is giving you. Not one of your people will be poor if you obey Him and carefully observe everything that I command you today. The Lord will bless you as He has promised. You will lend money to many nations, but you will not have to borrow from any. You will have control over many nations, but no nation will have control over you. If in any of the towns in the land that the Lord your God is giving you, there are Israelites in need, then do not be selfish and refuse to help them. Instead, be generous and lend them as much as they need. Do not refuse to lend them something just because the year when debts are canceled is near. Do not let such an evil thought enter your mind. If you refuse to make the loan, they will cry out to the Lord against you, and you will be held guilty. Give to them freely and unselfishly, and the Lord will bless you in everything you do. There will always be some Israelites who are poor and in need, and so I command you to be generous to them. If any Israelites, male or female, sell themselves to you as slaves, you are to release them after they have served you for 6 years. When the seventh year comes, you must let them go free. When you set them free, do not send them away empty-handed. Give to them generously from what the Lord has blessed you with, sheep, grain, and wine. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God set you free. That is why I am now giving you this command. But your slave may not want to leave. He may love you and your family and be content to stay. Then take him to the door of your house, and there pierce his ear. He will then be your slave for life. Treat your female slave in the same way. Do not be resentful when you set slaves free. After all, they have served you for 6 years at half the cost of hired servants. Do this, and the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. Set aside for the Lord your God all the firstborn males of your cattle and sheep. Don't use any of these cattle for work, and don't shear any of these sheep. Each year, you and your family are to eat them in the Lord's presence at the one place of worship. If there is anything wrong with the animals, if they are crippled or blind or have any other serious defect, you must not sacrifice them to the Lord your God. You may eat such animals at home. All of you, whether ritually clean or unclean, may eat them, just as you eat deer or antelope. But do not use their blood for food. Instead, you must pour it on the ground like water. Acts chapter 1. Dear Theophilus, in my first book, I wrote about all the things that Jesus did and taught from the time He began His work until the time He was taken up to heaven. Before He was taken up, He gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men He had chosen as His apostles. For 40 days after His death, He appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that He was alive. They saw Him, and He talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, He gave them this order. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked Him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, the times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, He was taken up to heaven as they watched Him, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as He went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you saw Him go into heaven. Then the apostles went back to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is about a half mile away from the city. They entered the city and went up to a room where they were staying. Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, Simon the Patriot, and Judas son of James. They gathered frequently to pray as a group, together with the women and with Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. A few days later there was a meeting of the believers, about 120 in all, and Peter stood up to speak. "My friends," he said, "the scripture had to come true in which the Holy Spirit, speaking through David, made a prediction about Judas, who was the guide for those who arrested Jesus. Judas was a member of our group, for he had been chosen to have a part in our work. With the money that Judas got for his evil act, he bought a field, where he fell to his death. He burst open, and all his inside spilled out. All the people in Jerusalem heard about it, and so, in their own language, they called that field a Keldama, which means field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his house become empty, may no one live in it.' It is also written, 'May someone else take his place of service.' So then, someone must join us as a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He must be one of the men who were in our group during the whole time that the Lord Jesus traveled about with us, beginning from the time John preached his message of baptism until the day Jesus was taken up from us to heaven." So they proposed two men, Joseph, who was called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know the thoughts of everyone, so show us which of these two you have chosen to serve as an apostle in the place of Judas, who left to go to the place where he belongs." Then they drew lots to choose between the two men, and the one chosen was Matthias, who was added to the group of 11 apostles. Psalms chapter 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. In despair and far from home I call to you. Take me to a safe refuge, for you are my protector, my strong defense against my enemies. Let me live in your sanctuary all my life. Let me find safety under your wings. You have heard my promises, O God, and you have given me what belongs to those who honor you. Add many years to the king's life. Let him live on and on. May he rule forever in your presence, O God. Protect him with your constant love and faithfulness. So I will always sing praises to you as I offer you daily what I have promised." May God bless the reading of his word. Have you ever heard someone make a statement like, "You should give without any expectation of receiving anything in return"? In Deuteronomy today, the people were told to be generous because God would bless them for it. Seems to me that it's all right for us to be generous with the expectation that there will be a blessing in it for us. And of course, this is not the only place that this principle is spoken of in the Bible. Among other places, in Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Does that do anything to change your attitude about giving? Hey, I'm sorry about missing yesterday's episode. As I told you in my short announcement yesterday, it was an extremely long day. The weather was rainy here, and I was driving in bumper-to-bumper traffic for hours because in Southern California, people don't know how to drive in the rain. And then, in addition to all that, there were some other stressful meetings and work and just a brutal day. There was nothing bad. It was just one of those days. Well, it's good to be starting the book of Acts. I really enjoy this book because it tells about how the early church got started and how the Holy Spirit began his ministry in the lives of believers. Tomorrow we'll be back to it. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.